So I found the buyer. So basically, I came in, ready to close, took it to title, hoping to close because I had buyer lined up. We're ready to go. She said, no, there's an affidavit.
Are you a real estate investor looking to sharpen your skills or a newbie looking to become one? You're in the right place. Welcome to Where Should I Invest? Real Estate Investing in Canada with your host, Sarah Larby.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Where Should I Invest? I hope you are well today and you are looking forward to this podcast. I will tell you, there is a great guest coming on for this week's podcast, which is Blake Kleiss, who is a wholesaler and real estate investor from Wisconsin. And originally, we connected on Instagram and we had a coaching call. It's probably a year and a half, 2 years ago now. And he started his journey and became a successful wholesaler and making deals happen to get himself out of the situation that he was in. So I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. It was super fun to talk to him and just see how far he's come since our original conversation. And, again, wholesaling might not be for you, but I will tell you there's some great tips in there, some great strategies, and it's just very inspirational to see what Blake has been able to do in short, really a couple years in such a short time frame, and is just continuing to kill it out there and do awesome. So congrats, Blake, and I'm excited for you to hop on. And before that, if you guys are interested in the BRRRR strategy, Buy, Renovate, Rent, Refinance, Repeat, don't forget my BRRRR Freedom community is ongoing for the year, and it's $150 a month or $1,400 for the year. If you are interested, send me a message and I can send you the link on that, or you can go to saralarby.com and go to the BRRRR Freedom Community if you are interested in learning about real estate investing and specifically that strategy and participating in live calls. So on that note, guys, hope you enjoy this podcast and thanks for tuning in this week again. Blake, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Sarah. I am great. How are you?
Good, good. I wanted to bring you on because like you are a success story and like I'm so inspired by what you've been able to do. And only, only a year and a half ago we were talking and you were in a whole different position. So why don't we go back and maybe talk to us about like your before we even started talking, why real estate was something that interested you?
Well, it's so funny, Sarah. And first, I want to say thank you so much for having me because I'm so happy and excited to be here and just grateful and thankful because I remember, I started my journey watching your videos, reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, whatever, to, getting into my first flip last year and then sent to talk with you and getting, some of your advice on what to do after the pandemic corona thing. I was able to kind of pivot and adjust from what I was doing before, which was kind of the corporate thing, into the real estate investor world. And I'm so happy that I did.
Cool. So you started only about a year and a half ago. Is that right?
That's correct. I think it was October. It was about this time last year when I got started on my first flip, my first
That's
deal.
Cool. Yeah, because I remember we connected on Instagram and you sent me a message and then we started talking and then we did a coaching call and you were telling me about like some of the struggles and so we created a strategy that you ran with and that's so cool. Like it's cool when your story comes in full circle. So what was happening? Like you had a full-time job or you lost your full-time job at that point in time. Like what was the situation a year and a half ago when we were talking?
So a year and a half ago, I was actually working at another job. I was working at Mercedes-Benz in automotive, the car world, just because I'm a car guy. But I got into the corporate world after that. So suit and tie, meeting with C-level executives pretty much every day. And then, as we all know, Corona, the pandemic happened, early 2020. And that was just after I was getting, up to speed with my new corporate role. And basically the company reached out and said, hey, you don't have a job anymore. So I had to basically say, hey, what do I want to do now? I'm very entrepreneurial. I've always been entrepreneurial. And I, always wanted to work for myself and something in the real estate world, but I didn't know, what it was. I didn't, where do you start? There's so many different things you can do. So anyhow, fast forward, I reached out to you and you gave me some advice that basically set me on my path to where I'm at right now. And, you know, I guess we can get into that maybe later, but that's kind of the long and short of it from when I started about a year ago, just over a year ago, till now.
Very cool. So you were in a situation where you were really like starting from scratch and you had to, you know, pick yourself back up and you, in a way, I mean, you chose well, but you could have gone in any direction, right? You could have gone back and you could have looked for another job. You could have, but you ran with the real estate and you ran with the advice. Yeah. So, you know, let's fast forward to today. What does your life look like today? A year and a half later.
So a year and a half later, I work for myself. I choose my hours. There's no boss. There's no, hey, can I go on vacation? No, you can't. You know, there's nothing like that. Everything's remote. So really, you know, I'm in Wisconsin, but I could pack up and go to Mexico and still do what I do remotely, which is just amazing, especially this new, you know, climate that we have in the world. But yeah, every day is exciting. Every day is different. I'm talking with customers and clients all the time, buyers, sellers, contractors, you name it. And I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Very cool. So what is the strategy that you are doing today with real estate?
So right now I focus on off-market deals, direct-to-seller deals. And I guess one of the things that people call that is wholesaling or wholetailing, basically. And that's kind of where I'm focused right now. I want to get into flipping after, and then eventually just the buy and hold game.
All right. Really cool. So you've been wholesaling and let's look at the last year since, you know, you bought your first deal about a year ago or so, maybe a year and a half ago. How many transactions have you completed when it comes to the wholesale strategy?
So including my first deal that I personally funded, 7 other deals in addition to that. So 8 total. And then I've got right now another 7 pending closing. So exciting.
So you've closed, you've made money on 7. You've got another 7 pending. And are you able to share, you know, from the low end to the high end, you know, what the assignment fees for your wholesales have been on average?
Yeah. So my first one was, you know, everybody says the proof of concept for you. It's just basically you doing it and getting the rep and knowing that, hey, this works. I can do it. So, and that one was a really long story. I can get into that if you want, but probably a 30-minute long story. But anyhow, it was kind of a crazy deal, as I know a lot of deals are. But it turned out to be $1,666.67. And I remember to this day, they say you never forget your, you know, your first deal. The high side, multiple 5 figures the deals can get. So they can get, you know, pretty sizable.
And now we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick moment and introduce you to a key member of my power team. Dylan Suter is my realtor who's been working very hard to find me amazing deals. And Dylan, I'm a big proponent in working with realtors that are investors. And Dylan is truly an investor. Welcome, Dylan. And thank you so much for being a sponsor. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I want to first thank you for having us as a sponsor. We're really grateful to be working with you and all of the support you've given us over the past couple of years. So thank you so much for that. And our focus as Elevation Realty is to focus our attention primarily on real estate investors that are looking to replace their active income with a passive income and go enjoy what they like most, such as time with the family or up at the cottage, whatever it may be. So what we do is we focus our attention on creating a plan specific for each client, whether that is something they want to have 5 properties in 5 years and be able to sit on them for 10 years and then sell them and retire on the equity. Or if they're looking to scale their portfolio and retire in the next 12 months, we can look at doing that as well. Through joint ventures or Airbnb short-term rentals. We can talk through buildings, buy, renovate, refinance, single family purchases, and the list goes on.
That's awesome. Now, Dylan, if people wanted to reach out and get help from you, where can they go?
They can check us out online at www.elevationrealty.ca, E-L-E-V-A-T-I-O-N, realty.ca, or they can email us at info@elevationrealty.ca. Give us a call or text at 905-592-4220 or check us out at The Right Club or other meetup groups that we're usually at as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Dylan. It is awesome working with you as always. And now back to the show. All right, good. So in terms of replacing your income from your job, like has that happened for you? I mean, when you look back and look at your income versus the income that you've created from wholesaling?
Yes. So I'm making probably triple what I was making before. Yeah, I pick my own hours. You know, it's not like I'm fighting traffic in the morning and, you know, going to an office all day or traveling or, you know, fighting traffic again, coming home, work from home. And I, you know, set my own hours and, you know, a lot less stress. So all things considered, I'd say I'm much better off than, you know, where I was at before, which wasn't bad, but, you know, when you to do something that you love and do it every day and do it for, you know, for work. I mean, that's, to me, that's what life's all about.
Very cool. Have you, you know, have you changed some of the things that you were doing in terms of like living your lifestyle? Like you have more time now, or have you picked up more hobbies, new, you know, new things to do?
It's funny. I look at it like I'm still in the building growing stage, or so I'm still super busy. But it's crazy. I love it so much that, you know, I don't even look at the time. I don't even check the, you know, when you're doing something that you don't really love, you're looking at the clock, you know, but for me, I don't even look at the time, but I do want to get into some more hobbies. At some point, I've just been super busy, but it's fun though.
Cool. Well, don't burn out. So let's go back a little bit to your first deal. You said it was a crazy story. I mean, obviously we're not going to talk about it for 30 minutes, but can you give us a shorter version of the crazy first deal story?
Yeah. So, to keep it semi-condensed, my first deal, it was a duplex. And what's funny is the guy at first he said he wanted to sell it. They didn't. He said he didn't want to sell it. Then he's like, oh, my wife says we need more money, blah, blah, blah. And the more money was like double of what we had it, you know, under contract for. So I politely said, hey, you know, we really can't do that. You know, we had this, you know, prior agreement in place and, you know, it was pending close and all this other stuff. And so just trying to smooth that out. We ended up figuring out a new number, I believe. And, you know, it wasn't exactly what the wife wanted or what, you know, he wanted. We just, you know, didn't go that crazy, but it was like a middle ground, basically. It was, a happy medium, if you will. So anyways, we revised the numbers, went back, and then basically, you know, I sent it to go into escrow at title. And, you know, my title agent calls me and says, hey, you know, this deal, it's, you know, the title's not clear. So I was like, oh, you know, what does that mean? Is there back taxes or something like that? Or, you know, lien or something like that? And it turned out, it's so funny. There was another deal. Somebody else had it also under contract. There is what's called an affidavit of interest, which basically legally locks up that contract and makes it so you can't go and do anything with that property until it gets unlocked. So she said, hey, you know, this in my 20 years of doing this, I've never seen this happen before. We got to figure this thing out. So basically what happens in that situation is I had to go back to the seller and say, hey, you know, are you under contract with someone else? Do you have two agreements out there? He said, no. And then the other folks that had our contract were like, no, we have a copy of it. He signed it. You know, there's two different contracts. So obviously it gets, you know, kind of messy there. So it's like, what do you do? So had to connect with those other guys and figure out some sort of a plan where it was win-win-win. There's three parties now involved in the deal, whereas before it was only two. So anyhow, we ended up figuring out, you know, a conclusion there with that deal, and a deal that made sense for everybody. But obviously, you know, in that situation, or at least in this situation, you're splitting basically the proceeds. So that's the only thing when it gets into that. And
the other person really no way to, was a wholesaler as well, like another wholesaler?
Yeah, exactly. And they just, I guess, similar timing, and for whatever reason, they had put that on the contract. My title agent said, usually if a deal goes south, sometimes people will do that, file that affidavit. So I'm guessing, I don't know, but maybe something went wrong with that deal. And then they, you know, had locked it up so that no one else could buy it or, you know, do anything with it, which is probably what happened. But it ended up working out.
Like, I don't think that you can do that in Canada, but I mean, you're in the US, right? So I think there's just different ways that it works. But I don't know what all the details are of that, but I just want to preface that. I don't have all the answers when it comes to how that would work, but it's interesting for sure. I mean, you probably know more about this stuff than me. I mean, just from a US perspective.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I should preface. I'm not a lawyer or anything. It's not legal advice, But this is just from my experience.
Yeah. So essentially you had to split the profits with another wholesaler.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and then, essentially that was good. You found the buyer, or they found the buyer.
So I found the buyer. So basically I came in, you know, ready to close, took it to title, hoping to close, cause I had buyer lined up. We're ready to go. She said, no, there's an affidavit, which slowed it down. And so I think what happened is their deal fell through. My buyer was like, hey, this is weird. What's going on here? So, you know, almost was just like, this is unusual. But anyhow, yeah, I brought in the buyer and they just were there because they had also locked up the contract, of course.
So basically they rode your coattail to the profits.
Pretty much. And it's funny because it was a team of two. So it was like literally a 3-person split as opposed to two. But it worked out. And like I said to my buyer and them and my title agent, I said, hey, this is my first deal. And, you know, it's proof of concept for me. You know, luckily we weren't splitting $1 million check.
No, exactly. All right, cool. So then the other ones, how did you find the other ones? Like, how did you market the other ones? And, you know, give me a little bit give us a little bit of insights on how you got your second one.
Yeah. So it's so funny because I've kind of tried a bunch of stuff. There's so much advice obviously online, and you read books and videos and all that stuff. There's so, everybody's doing different stuff. I think the one thing that is true is consistency works. So anything you do, if it's Facebook, or if it's pay-per-click, bandit signs, calling, social media, I mean, I'm trying to think what else. I mean, there's so many different things you can do. Billboards, RVMs, text blasting. There's so many different things, direct mail. So the hardest part's picking one. I've tried probably about all those and kind of experimented to figure out what works for me. But right now I'm mostly doing direct mail and just calling people.
And now we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors.
Hey guys, I just want to take a quick moment here and pause the podcast to introduce you to one of my favorite contractors, John from Blackjack Contracting Inc. And he has been serving the Niagara, Hamilton, and Brantford areas for the past 3 years and has become the area's legal basement suite renovation specialist. He works with many investors that I know and some newer investors, some more experienced investors, and he converts single family homes into multiple units, as well as my favorite strategy, the BRRRR strategy. So he's well versed in those as well to make sure that we can achieve the maximum value of the property and the maximum ARV. He has also completed over 100 units from Brantford to Niagara Falls and everywhere in between as well. They do everything from permitting to the design to the final cleaning before listing our rentals for rent or for sale. And he's also a fully licensed electrical contractor. He's certified with ESA and he will take jobs of all sizes. So no job is too big. He's done a complete guts really from the ground up. So super impressed with his work and what he's been doing for fellow investors that I know as well. So if you wanted to reach out, his website is blackjackcontractinginc.ca and you can ask him whatever questions you have. You can also reach out to him Instagram, which is at blackjackcontractinginc. And like he says, he knows that investing feels like the biggest gamble of our lives. So when you have Blackjack on your side, the house always wins. I will also add that there is currently a ban as of April 4th on new permits. So he will still actively work to the law's extent and actively work with investors to get projects planned out for when the ban is lifted. So that way you're not necessarily waiting and waiting and waiting. So guys, 100%, I recommend Blackjack Contracting. I will say that finding the right contractor is sometimes a hassle, and getting a good one that works with investors that understands the numbers is going to be critical in our success, especially when doing the BRRRR strategy.
And now back to the show.
Okay. And in the US it's different because you guys have access to like who owns what property, right? In Canada,
yeah,
there's privacy laws, so we can't. So, I mean, you know, some of us will do, you know, door to door, or we go and we just pick it like a UPS route or a FedEx route or whatnot. And then essentially like do the letters, and then based on the route, the mailman will distribute those. But, you know, we don't have visibility on like who actually owns these properties per se. Like we, We could, but there's no like lists. Like you would have to do a lot of digging one at a time and one at a time. And you probably won't do it if you're just trying to blast out like a bunch of places at once, right?
Yeah, that's crazy because I think we've got it so good here in the States. I've never been to Canada, but I know a lot of Canadian folks will actually do it in the States. Like somehow they'll do it virtually from Canada, but be working with properties here in the US. So I guess there's ways around it, but I think we're at this time where with technology, I mean, that gives us a lot of tools that kind of gives us the upper hand to find deals that people 5-10 years ago just couldn't do. So right. we're blessed with the technology that we have. We're very lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So basically what worked on your second one? Like what was it that, you know, that seller reached out to you from?
On my second deal?
Yeah.
That one was a call, just calling.
Okay. So cold calling?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right, good. And so you started talking to the seller, you know, about potentially buying their house for cash quickly. You know, how did the conversation go? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, so basically you just reach out to them. It's kind of like, I think realtors do the same thing, looking for basically just prospecting, looking for business. So you're just looking for business. You try to find people who sometimes they're in like a distressed situation, and if you can help pull them out of it, they'll actually sell their house to you at somewhat of a discount. Say it needs some work, or say, you know, they just inherited it, something like that. And they're like, hey, I'm moving across the country or out of the country, and got this house, and I don't, you know, I don't want to pay tax anymore. Don't want to have it anymore. I want to just sell it quickly, get rid of it. So in that situation, people will buy just for cash. So a lot of the folks I talk to are, I would say, I guess you can have the distress situations or the situations where they just don't want the property or they're just done with it. Or the tired landlord is what, you know, people can call them. Basically where people are retired or getting a little bit older in age and they're like, hey, this thing is just too much of a headache. We just want to sell it. You know, we made our money. It's paid itself off 100 times. And we're just ready to move on from it. So sometimes you'll have that too. And I run into that quite a bit as well.
All right. So you talked to the seller, he was interested. Then what's the next step? Like, so like if somebody has never heard of wholesaling before, you know, do you meet in person? Is it still virtual? Like how did that all work out? Like just walk us through like, you know, a typical wholesale deal.
Yeah. So that's a great question. So basically, it looks like you can do it in person if you want. Obviously, this new world in 2020, you can do it virtual just because of what's going on. I do all my deals virtual just because I guess one is convenient and two, you know, I guess it's safer than going out. If you can, you know, make that work. I know I've heard of people doing it both ways. But anyhow, you would go out, you would inspect, you know, figure out, you know, if it's a house that you want to purchase or buy or make a deal on, if it'd be a buy and hold play or fix and flip rehab type of play. You basically then figure out an ask price. And then from there, find a buyer and marry the two and go to title and collect your check.
You make it sound really, easy, but there's definitely some things, right? So like,
I made it sound easy.
I mean, that's good. But yeah. You know, just for the listeners too. So you obviously have to do some marketing, right? Some marketing to find a motivated seller. Okay. Then you got to negotiate with that motivated seller so that your deal can be low enough that there's still meat on the bone to find a buyer that wants to do it. Right. And then your fee's got to be in there somewhere. Okay.
Yep.
And then you got to find the buyer. So how are you finding the buyers?
So it's funny. It's just like marketing for sellers. There's so many ways to find buyers. And a lot of it is reverse engineering. So a couple of my, I guess, tricks that I use is sometimes you can go and find for rent signs. And obviously those are going to be landlords. So you can reach out to them and say, hey, are you guys buying, you guys looking for more deals actively, you know, right now and able to buy cash or, you know, looking to buy cash. And even, I guess, you know, private money works too. Hard money loans work too. I've done that. But the idea is that they can, you know, kind of close on it quickly rather than wait months, you know, to get, you know, conventional loan or whatever. So basically, you know, you can do that. You can kind of reverse engineer it. You can go on Facebook and post, hey, I've got this deal here for sale. Fix and flip opportunity, whatever the case may be. Basically Facebook and Craigslist are good ways to find buyers. You can put a sign out in front of the house and find a buyer like that. Word of mouth, networking, you can do some networking on bigger pockets. That helps. I think those are the big ones.
Okay. So where did most of your buyers come from, the seven that you've done so far?
I think mostly all on Facebook.
Okay.
There's different groups on there for real estate enthusiasts or investors or wholesalers, fixers, flippers, whatever, lenders even. So they'll go in these groups and just basically, look at it like you would on a marketplace kind of thing, but it's more exclusive and private. And it's all these really deeply discounted, houses. And they kind of comb through and sometimes they'll reach out to you, and that way you get buyer pretty quick and pretty easy. So it's kind of nice.
All right, cool. Now I know in Canada with wholesaling, you're doing two contracts, right? How does it work in the US? Like, what do you sign with a seller and then what do you sign with a buyer? And is it, different paperwork? I have no idea because it's a whole different market,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's interesting because you can do like a double close. Like say you don't want them, say you're making let's just say six figure on a deal, which you can do, but it's rare. But let's just say you're doing that and you don't want them to be like, oh, this person's making too much, or anything like that. It's kind of like how, car dealerships don't really show how much necessarily they're making on when they sell the car. So anyhow, you can do that. Otherwise you can do just a regular assignment, and that's where you just assign it and send it to escrow.
All right. Really cool. So, I mean, it's really inspiring that you've been able to do this. You've got seven more deals in queue. You've got seven deals done. You've tripled your income. We only spoke once, I think, for like about an hour. And, I gave you some different strategies to look into and some different insights. And you just ran with it, right? So I will say, yeah. I think you have, not everybody has this, right? Because they can hear the exact same thing, but you have the drive and the motivation to get things done. Like, where does that come from?
I mean, you hit it on the head. I'm hungry, and I'm hungry for success and just to do, more than basically escape the mediocre kind of rat race that a lot of people are in. I want to, be able to basically have my freedom of time where that I can be, let's just say like you, Sarah, and retire, super young and just kind of have your time to do whatever you want with whomever, just because, money or a job is not an issue for you. So that's kind of, one of the reasons why I see people every day, I guess now not, but just people they just don't enjoy their job. And I just feel like if you're doing something you don't love to do, find something you do, and it makes everything that you do that much more brighter and lighter and fun, and it makes work a lot easier if you enjoy it rather than dislike it.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask, I don't know what your situation is, but like your family and your friends around you, what did they say when you're like, I don't have a job anymore and I'm not going to go find another one. I'm just going to do this wholesaling thing and see how that goes. What was their feedback and their comments?
Well, it's so funny. I'm thinking of a Gandhi quote, and I'll probably chop it up a little bit, but I think it goes something to the effect of, first they laugh at you, then they, ask questions, and then they want to join your team or something to the effect, and they want to work with you, so it's funny because I think with anybody doing something that is kind of, off the beaten path or different than everybody else, when someone's kind of stepping out with a new technology or a new business idea, whatever it may be, I think most people are going to look at you funny or, whatever, give you a hard time or say, oh, you can't do it. And they're going to put their own limitations on you, or at least try to. And in that case, you can either choose to listen to them and play, just do whatever they're doing. Or you can say, hey, no, I want to do what I want to do. because I want to do it, you know, and I just think that once people are able to do that, they can really do whatever. But I know that so many people will go the route of, you know, somebody else's route, maybe go to school, get a job, you know, work 9 to 5 till 65, that kind of thing. But I just think that if people can think for themselves and find out what they love to do and do that, it's just, they're going to be so much happier. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things I would say is when I first got started, like you, I loved real estate. So I consumed it, right? I read, I listened to podcasts, I did so much stuff. And then I still had a full-time job in addition. And one of the things I wish I did more of was enjoy the process of the lifestyle more along the way. You know, luckily it took me 7 years and you know, now I have the ability to do it. But, you know, I would have loved if I took more vacation, right? You know, screw work, take more vacation. You don't just have to take a week at a time. Enjoy the process because you don't want to get so wrapped up in it that you come out to the other side and then you're like retired. I'm not saying that this isn't necessarily what happened to me, but I do wish I enjoyed it a little bit more along the way and traveled more, especially because now we can't travel anymore. Kind of stuck in our borders. But, you know, it's important because when you in 10 years or 5 years or 15 years, you know, you're going to stop, but you want to have hobbies. You want to have like other fun things in your life that you can keep pursuing along the way, you know? So, I mean, and you might, but one of the things I did was I was working, you know, a job for 50, 60, 80 hours a week, depending on which one. And then I would be, you know, coming home sometimes even at 7:30 and then do some real estate stuff, which is super fun. But, you know, did I miss out on potential like awesome lifestyle experiences? Probably.
So if you don't mind, I know you're interviewing me, but if I could ask you a quick question.
Sure.
I mean, you know, looking back hindsight 2020, I know, you know, at least for me, I'm excited for retirement to just do whatever. Whatever, you know, or just go, you know, go hang out on a beach and, you know, whatever, drink a pina colada. But do you have any regrets looking back? I mean, now that you're in the retired point in your life, do you have any regrets looking back? Like, hey, I wish I would have done this or something else, you know, anything like that?
No, I don't think that there is regrets per se. I mean, you know, if anything, I probably would have tried to find networking groups earlier that are Canadian specific, because a lot of the...
Yeah.
If I can probably pinpoint one thing, a lot of the knowledge and education that I got was from Bigger Pockets, was from a lot of US specific podcasts and books, which is fine, but it's quite different when it comes to the legal, the financing, the tax piece, the prices, cash flow appreciation, all those things are quite different. So, you know, it would have been good to find some like Canadian specific things from the start. It came down the road, right? Like after like my second or third property, I really got into the Canadian content, which is good. You know, that's one thing. And then, you know, yes, I definitely made some mistakes along the way, you know, like in Canada with our banking system, you know, I would have likely been better off had I started with a mortgage broker off the start, because we could reposition things a little bit differently. You know, like, could I tweak a couple little things? Sure. But there isn't anything that I'm like, oh, you know, I shouldn't have done this. Like, I think the only thing is I wish I took a month off vacation at, like altogether and traveled more back then. But, you know, like, especially when you get started, right? Like my first 3 years, like I was, you know, I was probably for my first property or in my second property, I was cashing out my vacation so I could use it towards the down payment. And look, you make some sacrifices. You make some sacrifices in the beginning, because I'll tell you, I didn't want to be working till I was 65. I'm 36 and I can retire, right? Which is pretty cool when I look at it. But like, do I wish I would traveled more? Absolutely. Like I don't travel anywhere, but you know, like I could have extended that. I could have maybe even cared a little bit less about like working the full-time gig. Like I really always put 110% in everything I do, in addition to a full-time job that I knew I was going to have forever. And, you know, sometimes like created a lot of stress over a job. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that piece, looking back at it, I wish I didn't care as much about the job in the corporate world. But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Cause I want to know what to plan for. Luckily I'm still young, but you know, let's just say a couple years to retirement, you know, what should I get ready for?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it is really cool. Like even now, I mean, it's only, we're recording this in October, but by the time you guys hear this, I batch record them. So it might be a while, but you know, like now I'm working out every single day in the morning. I've added some yoga classes. We're doing like a girls brunch, like once a month recurring, like, you know, I'm trying to hang out with friends more. And I'm looking for some hobbies. I mean, it's hard right now because everything's kind of shut down. I wanted to try some fencing with one of my friends, Jen, but they're not doing anything more than one person.
Really? Even though you're in the mask, whatever?
I guess. I don't know.
I think. Like,
it is what it is. But, you know, like I'm going to get some cool hobbies as well added. But, you know, like I think just enjoy the process. And one of the things I would just say that I think I didn't do enough of looking back at it is I should have had a freaking bottle of champagne every single house that closed and like made a toast to it. And
for,
like
for you or for the client?
for me, right? Oh. I buy a house, I close on a house. Like that should be like, pop the bottle of champagne in the house with like a couple like glasses and that and you know, so I think like
you didn't do that.
No, I didn't. We had like wine at home, like maybe for the first couple, and then afterwards it kind of just became a very transactional, which is fine. You know, but ultimately I should have had a little bit more like party.
Yeah, that is funny. I never thought about that. I should start doing the same thing. I guess
you should have like a tradition that every house or every deal, like even if it's like every time you get a deal, like take a grand and just go do something fun as an experience or something cool.
Yeah,
like it's all about the lifestyle, right? It's like we do real estate, like who cares about the actual brick and mortar? It's about the income that it brings you. It's about the net worth that it brings you for you to be able to experience things and have those memories and have like the people around you. So, you know, like looking back at it, like I would just say grab a grand and just do something fun with it. And it doesn't have to be grand, but like, you know, just make it proportionate.
How often, weekly? Or daily?
Every deal you do, just like spend some
every deal
on an experience with your family or your friends, you know. I don't know. That's looking back at it, I would have done that.
Okay. That's a good idea. I think I might implement that. I might start doing that.
Awesome. All right, cool. So the next part of the podcast is our lightning round. So Blake, I'm gonna ask you 5 questions. You're gonna give me the first answer that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
This week's lightning round is brought to you by Megan Chomut. If you're looking for a great financial advisor to add to your team who actually understands and incorporates real estate as part of your overall plan and gets your money working for you, you can reach out to Megan at meganchomut.com/Sarah. And also she's offered for my podcast listeners to provide you with a free customized individualized 90-day game plan for getting ahead. So to get that, go to meganchomut.com/Sarah. That's meganchomut.com/Sarah.
And now back to the show.
All right. Question number 1, what is your favorite real estate investing book?
My favorite book, you said?
Yeah, real estate investing book.
Oh, I love this question. obviously, I don't want to be like everyone else and say the Kiyosaki or, you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad. trying to think of another good one. I guess that's trying to think of a different one, but I'll just say that one. But yeah, I think, I mean, at least for me, I read that in like college or just beyond. And it changes your mindset. Unless your parents are like real estate investors or business owners, you're not going to learn that stuff in school. So it's just, and it's stuff that'll make you money. So I would say, not to be cliche, but I would say Rich Dad Poor Dad, it's just such a fundamental, I think it's like step one of being a real estate investor.
Yeah.
So that's why I say Rich Dad Poor Dad.
All right, cool. Rich Dad Poor Dad it is. Number 2, what is your favorite podcast? Could be any topic.
Yours?
Other than mine. Give us some other options.
Other than your, okay. Let's see. Well, I was just watching Joe Rogan.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys watched that in Canada.
Yeah, we have it here.
Oh, I'm trying to think what else. Oh, what is it called? I always forget. I think it's like TTP. It's called Talk to People, and it's a wholesaling podcast. So basically you can learn how to do it just by listening to their podcast. Cool. So it's kind of cool. I think if you type in TTP or Talk to People, it'll come up.
Okay. Awesome. Question number three, ironically, this is a question I ask everybody, but what do you do for fun when it's not real estate related?
For fun when it's not real estate related? Well, I mean, I'm a car guy, so I like cars, go to car shows. I guess that doesn't really happen anymore now in 2020, but before, and I still am a car guy. I like cars. I like going outdoors. I like working out. Trying to think what else. I guess I'd say cars and outdoors and just hanging out with friends and family.
All right, cool. Number four, if you lost all of your assets tomorrow and all of your money tomorrow, how would you start again?
Well, you know, the great thing is, you know, as they say, they can take your money and your assets and houses and cars and take it all away, but they can't take away what's up here. So I think as long as you have that, you can bounce back and start fresh. And you know, there's people who've went into billions of dollars in debt and then made billions back. So I know even if that happened, I'd get right back to it and get it right back. So.
All right. Awesome. And last question, if somebody has $50,000 and they want to get started, how would you recommend that they spend that money?
Oh man, that's a good question. I think you have to spend, if you're new and know nothing, I think you have to spend a chunk of that on your education. And I'm not saying, you know, do the $50,000 course or even $20,000 or even $1,000, because I think there's so much free good information online if you're, you know, budget minded. But I think you got to spend some of that on your education. Where I work in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, there are some houses that are less than 50 grand. I don't know pricing out in Canada, but there's houses that are less than that. I just sold one on Monday for, what was it, 22. So obviously, you know, it's I wouldn't say it's in the nicest, newest neighborhood, but you know, 22 grand and you're making $1,000 rent. I might say, I don't know, maybe buy one of those for, you know, as your first buy and hold and get the, you know, understand what it feels like to get the cash flow, $1,000 a month, you know, mailbox money, as they say, and just kind of build and grow from there. I don't know. I guess, what would you do, Sarah? That's a good question.
There's no right or wrong answer. It's whatever your opinion would be of how they can spend that, right? So you hear one spectrum to the other. So.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good question.
Cool. Awesome. All right, Blake, where can my listeners reach out if they wanted to speak to you, connect with you? What's the best way?
Yes. So Facebook is good. Instagram is good. I'm on LinkedIn. My first name, of course, is Blake, B-L-A-K-E, and then last name, C-L-Y-C-E, and it's just first and last name are all my tags. If you want to email me or send me a message, really any one of those three platforms, I'd love to network and talk to you and see how I can help if I can, or just bounce ideas or just talk real estate. So reach out. It's at Blake Kleiss. So.
All right. Awesome. And I always ask this at the end, any final last words of advice?
Last words of advice. Oh man, it's so funny because I know, I'm assuming your listeners range from beginner to super advanced, more advanced than me. So I don't know. Well, actually I do know, more of like a mindset thing. I would just say, you know, if you're thinking about getting into it, and you're doing something right now that you really don't like to do, take that leap of faith. I mean, if you know, 2020, it's a brand new year. It's been a crazy year, but you know, a brand new decade. I think it's for people who want to do something new and different, do that. If it's real estate, even if it's not real estate, whatever it is you want to do, just do it. I think this year especially made that apparent for me, just because life happens and things change and you never know if you have a, you know, job loss or something like that, or you have to move. So, and life is short. So, I just think that people, you know, if you're listening right now, just know that whatever it is you want to do, just go out and do it.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Blake, for being on the show. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thanks, Sarah.
Hey guys, before you go, I wanted to ask you a question. What's stopping you from starting or growing your own real estate investment portfolio? I know for me, before I started, I had plenty of reasons, and at the time they all seemed very valid, but as I started my journey, these reasons slowly fell away, and eventually only one reason remained. What was actually stopping me was having a proven, actionable, repeatable system. I didn't have that. And the way that was going to change was by investing in myself, learning, listening, and looking for ways that worked, and also, most importantly, discovering what didn't and not making those mistakes again. Fast forward to today, I now have a proven, repeatable series of action steps that has enabled me to build my seven-figure portfolio consisting of multiple homes, and I'm able to manage that in 2 to 3 hours a month. Is that something that you would want? Well, I've actually taken all the knowledge I've accumulated and put that into a comprehensive step-by-step online program. It's called Rise, and it's a program that will help you from where you are now to where you want to be faster and with less of the headaches that I had. So it consists of all the templates and the resources that I use, plus over 40 instructional videos that you get lifetime access to for just a small one-time investment. And, you know, my recommendation is to make the time now to invest in yourself and grow your portfolio to seven figures so that you can bring your retirement dreams closer. If you want some more information about Rise, just go to saralarby.com/RISE to access more details and book your spot.
Thanks so much for listening to Where Should I Invest with your host, Sarah Larby. Make sure to listen in next time. We'll catch you on the next episode of Where Should I Invest?